Well, to round out our show, Jan Hocken is going to speak with Sophie Smith, who's been on the show before, to talk about the problems that face people trying to cross the border, the Mexico-U.S. border, in the very dangerous hot desert. They're going to be talking about the recent wave of repression that has been brought on by the Trump administration and its explicitly anti-immigrant policies. Jan?
Sophie Smith, welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Jan. Thanks so much for having me.
Donald Trump's pardon on Friday of Joe Arpaio, a former sheriff in Arizona convicted of a long history of racial profiling, has been widely denounced as another example of the president's contempt for the judiciary. But the decision was also another example of contempt for Latino communities and immigrant rights activists in the state and humanitarian organizations such as No More Deaths that have been providing aid for migrants crossing the perilous deserts of the borderlands. So if you've come on to the Olmo show before with periodic reports, actually, on struggles in Arizona and Aravaca, where you are near the Mexican border. But last month, the situation became more worrisome with Border Control agents raiding the camp where you work as a volunteer. Tell us what happened and how this raid differed from the earlier practices of border agents.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe first I should just say a little bit about the organization and the work that we've been doing. So I work with a group called No More Deaths, which provides food, water, and medical care in the most dangerous regions of the Sonoran Desert on the U.S.-Mexico border to people who are attempting to cross into the U.S. without documentation. We've been working in the region for over a decade, and the necessity of humanitarian aid down here is the result of border enforcement policy that's been in place since 1994 to essentially police the border by pushing those attempting to cross into the U.S. without papers into regions where they find themselves in mortal danger. So not to actually close off the border, but to push people into remote regions of the desert where thousands and thousands of people have died and disappeared due to really treatable illnesses like dehydration and exposure. So for over a decade, there's been a number of non-governmental organizations, including No More Deaths, out here trying to prevent death and suffering directly on the ground. And we've established a number of camps across the southern border of Arizona. And the first camp and the longest standing one is in the area of Aravaca, which is a small town where I live about 11 miles north of the border. And it's a place where there's a big tall flag that flies, and we partner with the International Red Cross to have a makeshift medical clinic and work with a team of doctors and nurses and provide care to majority lost, sick, and injured people who are attempting to enter the U.S. and find themselves in mortal danger. So that practice has been going on for over a decade in transparency and in dialogue with the U.S. Border Patrol. And we've experienced...
That's not been an easy dialogue, though.
Certainly not. I mean, I think...
dialogue seems, in retrospect, it seems like a friendly family squabble given what's happening now. But over the years, it's been a real fight to protect people crossing and the services in place to help them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And we've definitely, I mean, when I say dialogue, what I mean is that we've been committed to having meetings with the Border Patrol to push for agreements and understandings around our work to offer a measure of protection to what we do, because we have experienced bouts of repression over the years, periodic surveillance, at times interference with the aid station, things like that. And also volunteers have been ticketed for littering by leaving water out on known migration trails where people are found to have died from dehydration by land management. So there's a whole history there. But I will say that since the Trump administration, things on the ground have changed really radically for us working in the desert in a really concerning way. Right after the election, we noticed a huge uptick in surveillance around the aid station, helicopters in the sky almost every day, vehicles parked on the hills overlooking the camp, which is really concerning to us because it's a deterrent to anyone who's lost or sick or injured from actually approaching the aid station if they see enforcement staged all around. So that had been going on for a few months. And then in March, the Trump administration, Trump and Jeff Sessions, purged, I think, 46 prosecutors, federal prosecutors, including the prosecutor here in Arizona, who's been insistent on not prosecuting humanitarian work and not signing off on warrants and things like that for the Border Patrol to enter. So that happened in March, and then a little bit over a month ago, we had a situation where a group of people walked into the camp seeking medical aid, and Border Patrol immediately surrounded the camp and said that they were pursuing a warrant, they were getting a warrant signed, and that they would be raiding the camp. So that happened actually twice. The more publicized one was the second time with four patients who were suffering from dehydration. This was in June, which is the hottest month and the most deadly month on the border. In June, I don't think temperatures dropped below 100 degrees. And there was a three-day siege of us waiting out this warrant with a huge show of force. I mean, just massive resources put towards the siege of the humanitarian aid station. And eventually, Border Patrol did obtain their warrant, which is unprecedented, and entered the camp and arrested the four people receiving medical care who are under observation. And it's just really concerning. It's a huge blow to our work.
And that's an aim behind it. It's a blow to migrants and Latino communities, immigrant communities, but also to organizations that provide support of various kinds.
Yeah, I think there's sort of both of those challenges are there. I think an important thing to understand out here is that in the border region, enforcement and kind of conventional medical assistance are really collapsed into being one entity. So if you call 911 here, Border Patrol is going to arrive. And that is the reason that we need humanitarian groups, because many people who are in danger of dying in the desert won't seek assistance from, you know, 911 and things like that, because perhaps they're fleeing a death threat in Central America, and if they're brought into custody and deported, they could die. So it's been really obvious to us that non-governmental groups are essential to helping people survive the crossing and not, you know, having so many folks receive the death penalty essentially for entering the U.S. without documentation. So
you are a kind of a sanctuary village or sanctuary setting in that sense.
Yeah, and it's certainly, you know, we serve a very small number of people who are crossing the border relative, you know, we're serving the people who are most vulnerable, most at risk, and that's why it was obviously very political to have this huge siege happen over a case of four sick people.
What happened to those four people who were arrested?
Yeah, we're still following their cases and getting resources to their families. I think several of them have been deported. I think two of them may be still in detention. It's a blow to the work. It's a message that they don't want humanitarian groups functioning, that the Trump administration wants to empower the Border Patrol to further put people's lives at risk. And it's a really concerning, you know, change of events for us out here on the ground.
You draw on the international guidelines of the Red Cross, and that has been an important protection for some of that humanitarian aid. Could you say a little about the Red Cross international guidelines and how much protection they provide?
Yeah, I think we've referred to some of the Red Cross codes of conduct and the agreements. We've had verbal and written agreements with the Border Patrol, which now seem to be not being upheld, about things like all humanitarian relief should not be interfered with or subjected to surveillance, things like that. And the purpose of drawing on sort of the longer history of international humanitarian relief, I think, is to assert, you know, that humanitarian relief is really based around the notion that regardless of the politics of a given conflict zone, all people should have a right to basic needs like medical aid and water and food. So it's sort of allowed groups to come in and intervene in zones of conflict to try to preserve life. And
without being stopped by the state or prevented from carrying out humanitarian aid. And so this is a violation of those principles.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a longer history of that. It's certainly fraught, but by asserting that we need something like humanitarian relief here on U.S. soil to preserve the basic right to life for all people is a political indictment. And I think No More Deaths uses language of humanitarianism, for one, to have access to people, but also to insist that, you know, conflict zones and the threat to basic human rights isn't something that just happens on the other side of the world. It's something that's happening right here in this country. And, you know, it's an indictment. And we certainly Nomadessa does and does not maintain political neutrality around that. We put out reports that have pointed the finger directly at the U.S. Border Patrol for causing death and suffering in the desert. So we use humanitarianism. I think it's really important to point out that there's a crisis, a public health crisis happening on the border where thousands of people are dying from things like dehydration, you know. And I also think that there's a way in which asserting the need for humanitarian work here is very political, and that's a reason that we're being targeted at this time.
And in closing, I think it's important to recognize that there is still a base operating there, multiple camps.
Yes.
The clinic is one part of the work, but most under attack by the raid, but that there's still work going on there. And perhaps in closing, you could say a bit about how we can continue to support your work, more important for sure now than ever.
Yeah, Nomadessa, we are certainly still committed to providing direct relief however we can. We do community search and rescue out here when official groups won't respond. We take trails and leave water and food on in areas that are particularly dangerous. We provide services in northern Mexico to people who've been deported. You can go to the website, nomadessa.org, sign the petition calling on the government to stand down and remove all the surveillance that's been placed around the camp. So that's a main way to support. You can also donate or come out and volunteer. Just in closing, I want to mention that, you know, the placement of surveillance devices around the camp have really tried to transform that location into an enforcement trap, and that's been something that's happened in other places around the world by authoritarian regimes. I think it's really important that we be vigilant and reject the notion that humanitarian groups should be used as lures for law enforcement.
And this tragic drama there is being played out in countless other places that require us to come together in various creative ways to resist.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the political climate has changed radically and that the effects are being felt all over, and the effects on the ground on the border are just very obvious and very early. But I think this is something that's touching many groups who are now having to think through strategies and tactics all over again learning the new rules of the game.
Yeah, and you can learn more about going on to the No More Deaths website. And thank you so much, Sophie Smith, for this most recent report on your work in Aravaca. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you so much.
Solid and we don't need to kick them. This is no South, East, and Western. Yeah, guns close doors to the system. Yeah, when we say we're not with them, we're solid and we don't.